With over 30 million people in the U.S. fighting a rare disease, we can't ignore the effect this has on all of us. Often we feel society defines us by the disease instead of who we are as a person. Join hosts and advocates Anne and Seth as they navigate topics impacting these communities, as well as guest speakers with their own rare disease expertise. Rare Unplugged is about to get real.
Hey, welcome to Rare Unplugged. This is our first episode. I'm Anne Bruns, and with me is Seth Rotberg. Hey, Seth.
Hey, what's going on? I'm excited to join you, and thank you for letting me be a part of this adventure.
Yeah, I know. I was really excited to start this, but I was more excited when you said you want to be a part of it. And so I think everybody needs a cool co-host, so you're my cool co-host. So here we go.
I'm excited. I feel like I'm your Robin. I'm the Robin to your Batman.
I'm totally Batman. So Batman. And you get to wear the tights.
Hey, that's fine with me. Only on Wednesdays, though.
All right. Only on Wednesdays. Okay, deal. Sounds good.
Well, Anne, tell me a little bit more about Rare Unplugged, what it's all about, how you decided to start this.
Okay, so when was it? It was like a month or so ago that I was like, I randomly told you like, hey, I'm going to start this podcast. And I kind of developed one, and then it just sat there for a long time because I was super unmotivated and didn't know what to do with it. And then a couple weeks ago, I got remotivated after a conversation I'd had with some really cool advocates. And I thought, this is the direction we need to go. Like just the whole unplugged type of stuff, like the things that we talk about that don't make it to like into speeches and presentations, like, but the stuff that you and I talk about and we text about and everyone else does. So just really like the whole casual conversation about rare disease and like the reality of it type of thing. So it'll be fun and not like formal, just super cash, all that good stuff.
I love it. And what I'm excited about is, like I said before, just being a part of this. And, you know, I wasn't sure how you felt about it at first, because I was also thinking about maybe trying to do a podcast or different ways to, you know, share stories and use our voices to, you know, start a conversation, especially in the rare disease space where a lot of times, you know, we don't have that opportunity. And I feel like we can be that platform, the outlet for people to not only share their voice and make a difference, but also just listen and find ways to, you know, get out there and make a change in their own community.
Yeah, for sure. So do you want to hear the funny story about how I came up with the name? Because, you know, originally my podcast was named something different, right?
Was it named Seth?
Yes. The Discussions of Seth. That's what it's going to be called, but that was going to be kind of crazy. So,
yeah, I like this name a lot better.
So, I know. So originally it was going to be called, what was it going to be called? I think like Voices of Rare, but that just sounded a little bit like too NPR for me. And I was literally on the phone one day talking to another advocate. And at the same time, you know, there's always that balance. So like my one daughter, she couldn't figure out why the computer monitor wasn't working, why it wasn't turning on. So I'm talking to him. I'm like crawling under the desk, trying to figure out why this monitor won't turn on. And he's being just silly. And he's like, well, is it even plugged in? And different things like that. And then I was like, oh my gosh, like it's totally unplugged. And I seriously was like, he was talking and it was like mid-sentence. I was like, wait, stop. And I'm like, that's what I'm going to name my podcast, Rare Unplugged. And so that's how it all came, because I was crawling under a desk trying to figure out why this monitor wasn't turned on. And guess why it wasn't turned on? It was unplugged.
Oh, jeez. I was just going to say, did you fix it? But clearly it was unplugged.
That is the extent of my IT skills, and I did it, and it's been a success ever since.
Well, I'm glad the monitor's still working.
Yeah. Okay, so just so people get to know us, so this is kind of our first deal. I've known you for a little bit, so why don't you kind of introduce yourself to everybody?
All right, prior to this, though, I just want everyone to know how we connected, because I personally think this is, I mean, I enjoy the story.
Okay.
And this was after, you know, I started learning more about the rare disease space, you know, I was already a rare disease advocate and patient, which I'll talk more about in a bit, but I just started going on LinkedIn and seeing different posts about rare diseases, about the industry. And I saw, I believe my friend BJ liked one of your posts. And so I saw it pop up and I was like, oh, this is really cool. And then I think I commented and then I messaged you and I was like, hey, we should totally like connect. Like, I'm a rare disease advocate and patient as well. Would love to learn more. And of course, I guess your story or your side of it was like, who the heck is this Seth guy trying to message me?
Yeah, because I was like, because I think you messaged me and was like, I want to learn more and like public speaking and like getting engagements and whatnot. And I remember I was with a colleague and we were something chatting about like what we had going on the rest of the week. And I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to take this call tomorrow from this Seth guy. I don't even know who he is. And I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going to take it. Like, I don't know if I'll have time.
Dang.
And I was, because I was like, I don't know who he is. And I don't know. Like, do I really, you know, kind of one of those like lazy moments of like, I don't know who this is. But then I took your call.
Thank God.
I know. And now we're best friends. So.
Yeah. Something like that, right?
So no, it was cool. It was a super good conversation. I know, like, immediately from there, we were just getting each other connected with a whole bunch of other people. And it all just kind of took off from there.
Yeah. Oh, I'm looking back at the LinkedIn messages. It was February 2nd. By the way, when I thanked you for connecting with me and you said you'd love to chat. So clearly you were just saying that to be nice, but I'm glad you took my call because, you know, I think, you know, after that moment, it just really, our friendship took off and, you know, I feel like I can come to you for advice, you know, and I hope the same for you as well.
Sure. Well, and I think it worked too because we were coming at it from different perspectives and we both have completely different areas of interest and expertise and they just really started to mesh really well. And just we had a lot of the same similar friends within advocacy that we started putting together and yeah, no, it worked out great. And here we are. I feel, you know what we need? Like, I feel like at this point we should have like our own like morning talk show. And like things like that. Like that will be our aspiration, Seth.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Talk host is the next thing. One step at a time. Let's make sure this podcast is successful first, then we'll go from there. But
okay, so tell everybody about yourself and they'll know why I took your call.
Perfect. So I come from a rare disease family. I am a advocate as well as patient. And my story really started when I was about 12 when my mom was misdiagnosed, which I've also learned has been more of a common trend of not getting the right diagnosis. And a few years later, when I was 15, she was diagnosed officially with Huntington's disease. And for those that don't know what Huntington's disease is, it's a rare neurological genetic disease, slowly deteriorating a person's physical and cognitive abilities. Imagine it's like having Parkinson's, ALS, and Alzheimer's all at once. And unfortunately, there's no cure. And, you know, it was very tough when growing up.
Yeah,
not understanding that, you know, and not accepting it, being in denial, no one to talk to, not understanding how to cope with it. But for some reason, when I went to college, that's when it really hit me that I was at risk. I was like, oh, geez, 50-50 chance I could get this. And, you know, I could go on and on. But essentially, at the age of 20, I decided to get tested. And I tested positive for Huntington's disease. And at that moment in my life, I realized, you know, I had several options. I felt like it was two options. One, I kind of ignore it. I don't accept it. I just don't do anything about it.
Right.
Or the other option, which is the one I ended up taking, which is you know, use these results as motivation to fight back, get more involved, and kick HD's butt. And just kind of from there did a bunch of fundraising, advocacy work, and just kind of did everything I could, not only for my mom's sake, my own sake, but those in the community that I wanted to support as well. And, you know, what really took off, I guess, this whole, you know, me sharing my story and using my voice as a platform actually happened this past year in January when I did a TEDx talk. And hopefully most people know what a TED talk is. And, you know, having the opportunity to do that in my hometown at the high school I went to in front of 800 people.
So cool.
Yeah. About genetic testing, what, you know, how I went through it and how I, you know, in my TED talk said I just wanted to be Seth and not be defined by my disease, but who I was as a person.
Right.
So that was kind of what took off to make me want to do more and realize it's more than just Huntington's disease, or as a hashtag that I would love to see more common is, you know, more than rare, and that we shouldn't be defined by who we are as a disease, but as a person and what we can do to make a difference within our own lives, but also the community as a whole. And so that's kind of where I am now, and, you know, connected with you, Anne, connected with some other amazing rare disease advocates and patients. And it's an amazing journey that I want to continue on in life. So that's my, my, some of the, of my story. I'm sure we could, I could talk about it for hours. I'm sure you could do the same.
Well, and I think, first of all, we definitely need to do like a follow-up show that's specifically about Huntington's and then one on genetic testing. Because that's like, you have an amazing story with that that I think should be a whole nother show. And then I think you failed two important things to mention. Like, you just got your master's degree in nonprofit management. Is that the correct phrase? Nonprofit management?
Yeah. And I need to spell it out because otherwise I'm not putting... the initials are M&M, and people will think that Seth Rotberg loves M&Ms, and oh, I do. Gosh. Don't get me wrong, I do, but that's not what I got my master's in, you know.
But what's your favorite color of M&M? Do you like the plain ones, or do you like the peanut butter, or like the caramel? These are important questions.
These are important questions. My favorite color is blue.
Okay.
And what's crazy is I like peanut butter and I like chocolate, but I don't like them mixed together. So it's crazy. And my friends give me a hard time. Like I can't eat Reese's, even though everyone loves them, or peanut butter M&Ms. I'm like, listen, I'll have a peanut butter sandwich, put peanut butter on my bagel. I'll put peanut butter anywhere. But when it comes to sweets and peanut butter, I just can't mix them.
Well,
I don't know about you.
Well, no, I'm complete opposite. So, like, I mean, we can still be friends, but we'll just agree to disagree on that topic. And then your biggest news, you just moved to DC and are now working for...
Ba-da-ba. I am working for a company called Inspire.
Awesome.
So for those that don't know Inspire, they, have an online community. It's like a healthcare community, but they're more than just that. It's a way to support patient advocacy, rare disease organizations, and the patient populations that they serve. So
cool.
It's an amazing opportunity. But thanks Anne for putting me on the spot. I appreciate it.
Well, we can talk about more later. But no, those are two huge things that I feel like are really important to touch on as far as like your background and what you're doing. So good things.
I appreciate it. And I also have to thank you because, you know, it's all about connections in life, which again is a whole another topic we can talk about, which is, you know, the power of social media, the power of networking, because you introduced me to someone who worked at Inspire. I connected for another reason, and then it just kind of worked its way into this opportunity. So thanks, Anne.
You are welcome. I will eagerly anticipate my 10% check. is that every 2 weeks or monthly? I'm not sure how your pay works, but just let me know.
As Marshawn Lynch would say, I think it's Marshawn Lynch would say, next question, please.
Oh gosh, Marshawn.
Marshawn Lynch.
That's a whole nother topic.
All right, okay, Anna, cool. It's your turn. Tell us a little bit about you, your story, and why you're involved.
Oh, gosh. I don't even know where to start. I feel like I'm like an old person within advocacy, even though I'm not. So my son, Ethan, just turned 14, is now taller than me, which I'm still like not okay with.
So, oh, man, you're not that tall to begin with. So let's be real. It's true.
So 5.5 years ago, he was diagnosed with an ultra rare disease called atypical HUS, which stands for something really long and scientific, and we don't need to chat about that now. It was one of those things. We spent a month in the hospital with him, and I remember bringing him home, and that night, you know, we made the decision right when he was in the hospital that, like you said, this was not going to define him. This was not going to affect his life. And we brought him home, and I remember him saying, I'm really happy I got this instead of my little sister's because, you know, like I can manage this type of thing. And I remember feeling like crazy inspired by this 8-year-old of like, oh my gosh, like if he can handle this, like I need to step up and handle this type of thing. And, you know, we made the decision right there that this wasn't going to define him. We weren't going to like make it affect his life negatively in any way. And I always think about like, I mean, his whole first like 3 years of life, everything Seth was Spider-Man. Like he shot webs at everybody. He had all the little like gear that he would like wear to Target and like shoot webs at people. And there was something that clicked with me that first few months that after he was diagnosed. And I was thinking about Spider-Man, the whole thing of like, what's the phrase? With great power comes great responsibility, something like that, right?
Yeah.
And at this point, I had started to kind of get into learning more about his disease. And in the meantime, you learn about a lot of other ones really quickly. And I felt really grateful, if that's a weird way to say, that for the disease that we had, because it was something that we could manage, mm-hmm. because I knew that there were so many that were terminal and worse off and things like that. And so I took that whole phrase from Spider-Man and I just thought, you know, our power, his power is that he can walk, he can talk, he has a very, quote, normal life. Our responsibility is to use that to help others who cannot. We have mm-hmm. a lot of friends that they're rare disease, even with his own disease, has left them with, they're not able to walk, they're not able to talk, do all those type of things. And I thought, why am I sitting back here just doing whatever when there's such a huge need out there and I can fulfill it? And, you know, and I have no scientific or clinical background whatsoever. My degree 20 plus years ago was in English. I worked in publishing. But I just really wanted to learn more about this disease. And I got involved with his foundation, ended up speaking at a lot of his family conference meetings, ended up joining the board of his foundation, later took it over, planned conferences, jeez. All of that type of stuff that comes with, you know, a nonprofit, which was amazing. And it's an incredible foundation. Like it was literally the lifeline I needed when I was really struggling. And in that we just, you know, the doors start to just open wide as far as making connections. And there was three other moms here in the Salt Lake area that we got together to plan a rare disease day. And we ended up planning Utah Rare and we host a big symposium every spring. And then, I don't know, like it just starts to spiral. And then you go to the Global Genes Conference the first time and you meet some amazing advocates. And then you're going to the next conference and then you're speaking at this conference. And like, I don't even know at this point where I'm at half the time. So
I know. I feel like you're always on the road speaking in one city or another.
But you know what? I love it. And I love, I left my foundation in December. And part of that reason was just because I felt like, you know, we're in a good spot with our disease. And I know that sounds silly to say, but we're really fortunate to be one of the very few that have a treatment with additional ones in the pipeline. And I felt like for me, it was a good time to step back and help others who were not there yet. Because I know what can happen when there's a drug available and when pharma works really close with patients. And I thought that this is what we need for all these other struggling patients and families out there. And I mean, and I just, I don't know, I like to be involved in lots of things. And this podcast just kind of came up as an idea of being able to learn more about other diseases and just talk to everybody without being, you know, having blinders on one specific area.
I love it. I love it. I think we're going to definitely dive deeper into research, how do we get the patients more involved, more engaged. And, you know, there's going to be so many different types of topics that we can discuss and just connect about, which is awesome. And, you know, maybe we even get Ethan on one of these podcasts. Just, I would love to just pick his brain on, you know, his involvement and how he's an advocate, especially he's 14, you know. I think it's crazy that he decided to be one of those game changers in the rare disease space to make a difference.
Well, yeah, and he would be a lot of fun to have on. And I might be a little terrified of the things he might say. So, because, oh my gosh, so listen to this. So 2 years ago, he gave a talk at our Utah Rare Symposium around Rare Disease Day on what it was like to be, you know, like a young teenager with a rare disease. And he was pretty good. He wrote the bulk of his talk by himself. Like, I helped him with some timeline type of things. And one of the things he said was, one of the downfalls of having a rare disease is that my mom is always asking me if I've taken my meds.
Oh, of course.
And then I'm just like, yeah, buddy, that's true. So I might be a little bit like, what are you going to say? Maybe I need to pre-screen the questions. No, I'm just teasing. I really wouldn't. But, you know, and it's, I think everybody is different and they deal with rare disease differently. And I think this will be a really fun way to see how everybody is, you know, adapting and evolving with it. And also, I think that we go at different phases. You know, like, I look at some advocates and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even know how you're doing that. But I just have to think, you know, we're all on different plane levels. And, you know, the whole idea with your plates, you only pile on your plate what you can handle, and everyone's plates are made up differently. So there's no competition, there's no judgment, anything like that. So I think it'd be really fun just to talk to a ton of different people to see how they're doing, how they're coping, what they're doing about it, type of thing.
100%.
What else should we talk about?
Well, I definitely think it's important to get the caregiver perspective too. I think the needs of a caregiver or even just the family in general are just as important as the individual. And I hear it all the time where it's not just an individual diagnosis, it's a family diagnosis.
For sure.
So it's like that. And then, you know, relationships, whether it's family, friends, romantic.
Yeah.
You know, how to use your voice. One topic I was thinking about, which I know it can be an interesting one, is drug pricing, because that's always an interesting one. And
you know, that gets me like riled up.
Yeah, it could be a fun debate.
No, it's good.
It's good. I think it's good to talk about these things. And I really learned a lot more after actually reading the founder of NORD, Abby Myers, her book on, you know, orphan drugs and the Orphan Drug Act, how it came about. And I was like, wow, I didn't even know a lot of this stuff. And so I'm glad I read that. But family planning, you mentioned genetic testing.
Yeah.
Coping. I'm sure we'll come up with more, especially as we continue with this podcast.
Well, and I think too, like, I want to learn more about specific diseases. And the one, you know, one example is, I was at World Orphan Drug Congress in DC this past April, and I met an advocate for the first time. We were friends via social media. And
that of course.
And we met there the first time, and she has narcolepsy. And I said to her, you know, I literally don't know anything about narcolepsy other than the stereotype I see on TV. Like, can you, you know, we only had a few minutes. I'm like, can you explain it to me? And in that 10 minutes, I was blown away. I was like, I had no idea, like, the severity of this, like, you know, all the different levels of it. And so, like, she's like top of my list to bring on here, because I think a lot of times, especially with diseases like that, they're known in a way that they are stigmatized via media or whatever. Like, it'd be really good to actually say, like, okay, no, seriously, like, this is what it is. This is not what you see on TV. Or
no, for sure. There was actually this young person who went, I mean, I would say, she's still in high school, But she actually did a TEDx talk at in my hometown. I think it was the year before me. And she has narcolepsy. And she talked about her story of being both a student and then a rare disease patient. It was very powerful. Highly recommended.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
So, okay. So format-wise, we're going to do the podcast stuff. We're going to post it on the website. We have a Facebook page.
This is cool. Let's do it.
Yeah. So we'll do some Facebook Lives, things like that. Make sure your hair's combed, you know, things like that.
Yeah. All 50 of my hairs. No, I'm not balding. I like to keep my hair short.
That's okay.
it's easier to wash and dry and I know the simple stuff.
Well, I guarantee that my hair will probably be a different color every time we do a Facebook Live. That's how I roll. So they'll be like, who's Seth's new co-host? Oh, no, it's still just Anne. Now she has pink hair. Now she has red hair. You know, who knows?
Yeah. We'll just I'll keep the same hair.
But just remember, it's still me, Seth. It's still me.
Of course. But yeah, like you said, we'll be posting about this on social media, making some announcements. Anne and I both have our own websites, and we'll just make sure that it's posted wherever, you know, people have access to.
For sure.
And then hopefully we can even try to get links out, so if people missed it, they have a chance to listen to it another time.
Yes, absolutely. So cool. I'm super excited about this. Thanks for joining me. This is much more fun than me like just staring at the window, like talking to myself. That would not be very exciting.
I bet. I think it's definitely easier when you have a co-host.
Yeah.
You know, and I just appreciate you letting me be a part of this.
Absolutely.
You know, was reading a book on how to kind of continue to share my story. And one way was, you know, a blog, which I'm going to start trying to do, but also just audio. And I thought a podcast would be great, but I was like, it doesn't make sense to do my own. And feel like I have to compete against Anne's awesome podcast.
Because how can you compete? I mean, let's – just kidding.
Let's be real. You're right. I would be like, oh, geez. I'm going to have to hack her podcast so that mine is much better. But
oh, gosh. No, it'll be good. I'm excited for it. And I'm glad you're on board because it makes it a lot more fun. And – there's a lot of, I just keep talking all night. There's so many things that we can chat about. So this will be good times.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So let's continue we got the momentum. Let's continue to make a difference and go from there.
Cool. All right, everybody. That's the end of our very first podcast. You're so welcome and lucky to be a part of it. And I promise they'll just get better from here on out, right? We can only improve. So, yeah, we'll link and post everything when we're ready, and we'll catch you next time.
And this is brought to you by Anne Bruns and Seth Rotberg. That's what we'll do, right?
Yes. We need some, like, play-out music or something.
Yeah, we'll get there one step at a time.
Yep. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.